I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. This is our last episode for season three, and we are joined today by Lori Bean. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about why we're joined by Lori in a little bit. But before we do that, before we dive into Lori's presence, I thought it would be just nice for us to go back. And Lori, of course, I want you to chime in for this too. I thought it would be nice to just go back and reflect on anything from the season that really stood out to you, that you felt like was really beneficial, things that you learned, feedback maybe that you've heard from our community for things that were really helpful, just so we can sort of sum it up and tie things together. And then we'll share what we're going to do next in a little bit. So some of the things that we talked about this season, we had a couple of guests at the very beginning. We talked about Alice in Wonderland syndrome. We talked about neurofeedback. You guys talked me and Kyle into doing a behind the scenes about things with resilience and how we came about. We talked about screen time. We had so many wonderful guests come on that were parents sharing their experiences. We had some interviews about homeopathic research. We talked a little bit about various things to consider, from like when to add therapy, what isopathy and LDA and LDI are, how they work in the body differently than homeopathy. We talked about a lot of different things on the homeopathic healing journey of specific symptoms for PANS pandas too. And this is one that I hope is as helpful as we intend it to be, and that we are able to give people some understanding of what to expect along the healing journey when you've got these varying different symptoms, rather than just all of them together, what's going to happen, you know? What do you guys recall, or what really stood out for you?
Laura, you want to go first?
So it's so funny you mentioned the behind the scenes episode. I was pushing for that one, and I get really excited about that one because I think the magic of resilience should be shared. The Kyle episode is one of my faves, just to see, because I think you guys just do it so differently. You embrace all the things that I know that I ever wanted from a doctor, and the entire team is just phenomenal. So I just think it's really cool to see from conception to what it is now. Definitely. And the thing that I just thought about, one of the episodes that I remember seeing a lot on the page was the Michelle Falwell, which was fairly recent. But yeah, wasn't she the one that was the nonverbal to verbal, which is always, Jody, you and I always say this, our favorite wins in the group. Yeah. And that's a really, it feels like it's been a hot button question as of late, asking that. So being able to refer people to that specific episode has been pretty impactful, I think. I mean, that's truly probably the most magical win I can think of. I can't imagine what it would be like to not be able to hear your kid and have that communication, because I didn't go through that. So then to have it, it's, yeah, true magic of homeopathy. Those are my faves.
Yeah. I think it's funny that we all had the Kyle episode on our list.
Really?
This is a me thing. I'm so proud of resilience. I'm so proud. I'm so proud of who resilience is. I'm so proud of what resilience is doing. So of course, that's one of my favorite episodes as well. But I have more that I wrote down. You said already, Jen, the all of our guest hosts love it. And this one's fresh in my mind. Yeah. And those are the ones really that we get the most feedback about. We get a ton of feedback because it just really it just changes it when you're hearing it directly from a family who has been through it and really like can talk on your level and can like, you know, what they're saying resonates. I don't think it's because this one is so recent. Amelia Keller.
That is a good one.
Like, I love that episode. She is just such a bright young girl. I really, really liked it. I loved getting to chat with Rachel Roberts from the Homeopathy Research Institute. I always love talking about aphorisms. Those, to me, were really fun episodes. And then, of course, Dr. O'Hare. I hope, you know, she continues to come and join us from time to time, because I always enjoy her episodes. And just getting to chat with her. And I think that's all of them that I had. There was something, I feel like there's like a little something that even I learn from almost every single episode that we do. There's something valuable, or there's some sort of reminder, like even as a mom who still has a child on the healing journey, there's always a little something that I can learn or helps me understand. Dr. Barr, you've said multiple things in podcast episodes where I'm like, oh, like that's something that I never understood. And this is one thing I love about homeopathy, because I do enjoy learning about things that I like learning about. And I feel like there's just always something to learn or something that I understand. It's just always like a growing, evolving thing.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff I love.
I'm really surprised that both of you had the behind the scenes. I was surprised when it was requested, and I'm surprised that it made your top list. And perhaps it's just because we're so focused on just going about doing the thing that we do that I don't think that the why and how matters that much to people, especially when they're focused on helping their kids get better. And maybe the reality is that it doesn't matter until they're in it. If I pause actually and think about if I were going to trust something that maybe I didn't really fully understand and that required a bit of a shift in how I was thinking about medicine and health and healing and all of that, it might matter to know who it was that I was trusting that to. So,
well, too, and I want, like, I love that episode because it shows the heart of resilience, and it shows like the place that we're coming from is so real and genuine, and it's just nobody really gets to see that. I get to see it all the time. Every day I come to work, I get to see it. And I don't think people get to see it. So I love that that episode is there. It lives now, and anyone can go look at it and just be like, okay, let's get a really good understanding of who resilience is and where I'm, like these folks that I'm about to partner with and move my child through healing, who are they, and what, yeah, like what makes them operate and all that type of stuff.
I think it totally matters. I think that hearing from you and Kyle directly from the top, my experience just in life, right? If you have a bunch of unhappy people working there, you know, it usually stems from the top, right? It's top down always. And so having that little inside look, if that was available, I mean, I was fortunate enough that I got to talk to Kyle when I came on way back when. I mean, Kyle was enough to just, I was like, yeah, I'm in if I get to work with Kyle. But I think it's super important. I'm not sure that you specifically totally get what's been created. I mean, I think you're getting it. I feel like every time I talk to you, you kind of, but from the parent perspective, these are all the things I wanted wrapped into one place, and they're going to listen to me. They're going to hear me. They're going to partner with me. They're going to support me as I need it. There's someone to cover, like all those things. It's just amazing. And then to see the you and Kyle dynamic too. Or hear about it. It's very real. It's just really cool.
And just to be clear, we don't have a bunch of unhappy people. If we had unhappy people, it would have come from the top.
Quite the opposite. That's what I mean. Quite the opposite. Good clarification.
All right. Well, as always, my favorites are the guest hosts, both the doctors who are willing to come and share their specific expertise, but mostly the parents who are coming and willing to be vulnerable, especially those who come knowing that they're not necessarily fully recovered. And they come and they're willing to be vulnerable and know that they are going to be celebrating their wins with us, and that they'll probably be in the group with us at some points when they're going through a rough patch. And I know how vital that is for families to recover. So many of you know that we're working on a book of cases of families who've healed from PANS and PANDAS, and every single one of these families that I've interviewed, and we're talking, not all the families are going to end up being in the book for various different reasons, but over 20 families that I've interviewed, because I just can't end up having a 1500 page book, you know. We'll see. Maybe we'll have a volume too if we need it. But every single one mentioned hearing other families' stories being vital for helping them take the leap for something that maybe they didn't really fully understand, or even if they weren't in that space, that they knew and understood homeopathy from a very long time because they'd always been using it in their family, helping them keep with it when they were going through rough patches. And it helped them to see that even when they were going through a place where like, oh my gosh, this feels like nothing is working now because we're in a regression and it's taking a while to find the right remedy, or we had a new exposure, or whatever it happens to be that led to a hard regression after things were going well, or a prolonged period of just kind of bumbling along, it helped them to see that they were not alone. This was part of the way that the healing journey can happen, and that they can get to the other side. And they all did. And their kids are thriving and doing really well and have recovered. So I can't wait to share the book. We'll let you guys know when it's available. But in the meantime, everybody who has the opportunity to share, whether you are someone who's willing to come and share with us and put it out in this very public space, or if you're just sharing with your neighbor or some random person that you talk to in the airport or wherever it happens to be, sharing your stories matters, both for awareness of PANS and PANDAS and having more people be able to identify it early and get interventions early, and maybe also forcing some doctors who are saying that it's not a real thing still, which I don't know why that's still happening, but for the places where that does still happen, maybe forcing them to recognize that this is legitimately a thing. Yeah. And it deserves the attention, and that you're doing people a disservice by giving them inappropriate treatment for something because you just refuse to accept that this could be what's going on for them. It also brings a lot more awareness to homeopathy. And homeopathy is something that, in spite of having existed longer, substantially longer than most of the medications that are being used, in fact, I would say all of the medications that are being used to treat PANS and PANDAS, homeopathy has been around substantially longer, unchanged in how it is delivered. If you are doing classical homeopathy and stood the test of time, it still requires a shift and a change in your paradigm, a change in your thinking, a change in your understanding. And the more you share about it, the more it becomes available and accessible to people so that they can see, all right, maybe this thing that just because I don't understand it doesn't necessarily mean it's not a valuable tool, and it could be the key to helping my family get through the nightmare that is PANS and PANDAS.
Yeah. I've seen this unfold since 2016. In 2016, there were two moms talking about homeopathy, two total. And I was in every single PANS group there is. Like, there was just no one. Like, nobody knew what homeopathy was. And very slowly over time and painstakingly, because teaching people about homeopathy is not an easy thing to do. There's like this level of almost like commitment to it. But I think that those of us that have seen our kids get better and do well, those moms have grown into like all of these moms who understand that there is another option, a truly healing option. All of those, so many moms got here by other moms planting little seeds and just talking about their child's journey. And the same thing is happening, and we've seen this too over the years with medical providers. It's moving slow, like painfully slow, but it is also happening. We've got providers who were adamantly, nope, not against it. My kid's pediatrician. Like, finally they're coming around. It's been, I mean, since 2017, and they're finally coming around, but they're coming around.
Yeah.
They're acknowledging it, which means more kids are going to be able to get the appropriate help quicker. So it moves slow, but I believe in moms who believe in something. I believe that we were for some reason chosen to teach the world about PANS and about homeopathy, and I've seen it happening. So
yeah. I love that you bring up medical providers, because I won't name names just in case this person doesn't want me to name their name in this regard. One of our guests, at least one, maybe more, has said to me and to a group of people that they did not believe in homeopathy, and they thought that it was nonsense, and were like, nope, 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 until they could no longer ignore it and realize that when it was done correctly and done in the classical approach, that there was substantial healing. And now that person obviously appreciates us enough to come as a guest and refers to us, and has asked, you know, me to come and speak for things too, because they recognize the value of it now. And that's just one person. There are many that that's the case for. And that matters too, because the reality is with pans and pandas, we need to have everybody willing to talk to each other about what they're doing and understanding if there's not an absolute outright contraindication for something where you cannot do them together. If we need to have a multiple pronged approach, we need to be able to work together so that you aren't battling pans and battling your doctors who are battling each other.
Yep.
I think that's what's so beautiful about this podcast in general is the organic growth that has come along with it. Podcasts are such a nice, digestible way, and it's a passive way, right? Someone has to come on and find you and want to listen to you. So I think that's something that this whole podcast offers, whether it's doctors listening or other families listening, and they can come around as they want. Because like Jody just said, it's painstakingly slow, that the mind shift you have to make to go from a Western approach to this kind of approach, which has a bunch of naysayers. And like you said, there's a lot to learn about it. My other favorite thing I think about the podcast and when moms come on to share is my hope is always that once you reach a certain level of healing, and if you've been a part of this group, and I think this group in particular just kind of breeds these types of people, is you turn around and you reach your hand out to someone else who's struggling. And I feel like every mom who's gotten through this process here with resilience has then done that. And I think that speaks volumes about the culture in the group and what we try to manifest. It's just a beautiful thing. I always feel like when I'm listening to those moms that they've reached this level of understanding and acceptance, that they're on there sharing and turning around and trying to help. It's just one of my favorite parts.
I don't know why I have to say this, but it's like this weird thing. Every time somebody says, not to pick on you, Lori, but every time somebody says Western medicine, I'm like, homeopathy was founded in Germany. It's Western medicine. It is Western medicine. And it is based in science and it uses the scientific method. So it's funny to me that, you know, we think Western medicine means conventional medicine, but homeopathy actually is Western medicine too.
That is how I was categorizing it. So I learned something else again today.
No, that really is.
I'm glad you say that though, because it literally like took me, Avery being almost all the way through healing. At one point, whenever I came and visited you and we were riding in the car and I was talking about something and you were like, Jody, homeopathy is medicine though. It is medical treatment. And it like had never like dawned on me that I don't know why. It's just so hard to like wrap your brain around that.
Yeah. You were saying something about like the fear that you're not treating something. I was like, but you are. It's just not necessarily the standard of care or whatever, but the standard of care doesn't work often for pans and pandas kids. And the standard of care is evolving and changing because we're realizing, I mean, how many people, even in the conventional medical realm, how many people jump right to IVIG real fast, you know, or jump right to tonsillectomy and adenoidectomy? We're changing and shifting and recognizing that things don't. What works today is not necessarily what's going to work tomorrow. And we also have to define what works means, right? Yes. So does works mean works that it stops things quickly right now, but then it comes back? You know, that's not what we need to get into so much today, but maybe that's part of actually what we will talk about next season. So I'm going to go ahead and share. We asked Lori to come today because we were actually intending to do a very short series on navigating recovery. We had it fit into our schedule. So, you know, just again, we're going to take a break with new episodes for the summer because your kids are probably going to be doing the best that they're going to do for right now over the summer. And so you're probably going to be busy. You're going to be having your kids at home or in camps or whatever it is that you do for the summer. Or if you're a homeschooler, you might be just continuing on as days are all the time and no real change. That said, your kids are probably going to be doing better regardless of what they're dealing with and or what their schedule looks like. And so you're probably going to want to take a little bit of a break from pans. So what are we? We need a little bit of a break too. We will put some of the like most loved episodes, we'll put some replays in for you in case there's any that you might have missed to bring to your attention. So there will still be episodes in your feeds, but they're going to be replays from the past. But next season, we are going to do what we thought we could do in just two episodes, but realized, oh my gosh, we can't. And there's no way we can fit this in into season three. We realized as we were working on how to do a couple of episodes on navigating recovery, that this is a full season, that there are so many things that we can give specific discrete episodes too that can help people wherever they're at along the healing journey to be a really, really good resource to help you find the resource that you need at the time that you need it, depending where you are on the healing journey. So that's what season four is going to be. It's going to be all about navigating recovery. And so we wanted to have Lori here because as we go into this, we wanted to leave you with a couple of our top tips for navigating recovery that we wanted to offer to you this season. We're going to offer that to you as our parting gift for season three and a little bit of a teaser for season four. We're going to give you our top tips for healing journey and for how you navigate it in the early stage, middle stage, and late stage of recovery. And then if there's anything that you guys want to offer for the healing overall, for the journey overall or anything like that, that would be lovely as well. And for those of you who don't really know where you're at in the early, middle, or late stage, many of these things could apply at any point along the way. And so just take what works for you and what resonates for you and come back to it again. If you're feeling like you're a little bit stuck, maybe start up here. Mark this as the point to start the podcast and listen to the last couple of episodes or last couple of tips that we've got to offer you. Lori, you always have so many amazing things. So I would love to let you start and then Jody and I will sweep up if there's anything that you miss. And I have a feeling all the stuff I wrote down, you guys will have said, but before.
Okay. You want me to go through early, mid, and late?
Let's start with early.
Let's start with early.
You guys can fill. Yeah. Okay. So I kind of, as I was writing these down, I actually realized that I kind of have a theme. And the theme throughout all of them, which I know we're just doing early right now, is mindset and expectations. But, right?
Of course.
Yeah. I know. The mindset and expectation is going to change along the way. So that's what I plan to jump into. But what I wrote down was, for the early stage, the beginners, just be open and flexible. Like literally, you don't know what you don't know. And there's going to be so much new coming at you and it's all going to look weird and foreign. And so you kind of just have to go with it and take that leap of faith. And it's kind of weird feeling, really. And then the other thing for early was to wrap your brain early around the fact that there's going to be backsteps and that's normal. Like, don't go into it going, I hope it doesn't happen. Dude, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen over and over and over again. You know, I always say in the group, lather, rinse, repeat. And so expect it. That way you take that element of surprise out. You know, if it doesn't happen one day, yay, you can celebrate. But just that's normal. And so you kind of got to get in the cadence of wrapping your brain around that. So those were my top two earlies.
Yeah. Mine were also expectation and mindset. And I think that really kind of giving yourself a minute. And when I say a minute, it's not like it used to be where moms would, I mean, some are, but they would look and look and look and research and study homeopathy before they would actually decide to come to homeopathy. Now we have, because more people know about homeopathy, we have people coming to homeopathy a lot quicker. But even if it's like you schedule your intake appointment and you've got a month and a half, spend that month and a half like learning every, like watch the guides, watch, you know, listen to other moms talk about it. So you kind of have it in your head what this is going to look like. And whenever I say mindset, my, like, I don't even know how to communicate this. Like, I fully believed that Avery was going to heal. I was still scared. I didn't know what I was doing, but I believe. And now after seeing homeopathy, like, I know, like, our kids' bodies want to heal. And we need to believe that every single day, and we need to speak it, and we need to live like their bodies are going to heal, not manifesting, but like somewhere in that realm, like believe it, believe that. So definitely mindset, expectations are really, really important getting started. And then for me, and I know there's a lot of me's out there, I put step out of the forcing and move into allowing. We have to move out. And again, this might go back to mindset. It would have been very beneficial if I would have been able to stop that like thought that I'm going to force this healing. We're going to force this to go away. We're going to like, because that all that forcing now to me sounds like the word suppression. And I don't like fast is not the fix. Slow is the heal. Moving in eventually to like way too late, I moved into the understanding that I just needed to sit back and allow Avery's body to heal. Like I'm an active participant. I'm relaying information. I'm giving doses. So I'm still in it, but I'm allowing her body to do what it needs to do. And I have less tension and frustration and annoyance because it's not happening faster. So I think that moving away from the forcing mindset and into the allowing mindset is really important.
I think that mine piggyback off of yours, but maybe are a little bit more practical or specific than yours.
Yeah, mine are all over the place.
But I think that yours would help facilitate mine, which the first one that I have is to let go of figuring things out yourself and lean into your provider. And that is a pretty hard shift for people who have been having to fight for their kids and potentially fight with their providers to figure out and prove what's happening and bring solutions and trying to figure out what's happening with this, because you've got multiple places where things might be being managed, or you might be trying to manage it yourself because the things that you've been offered haven't worked or aren't aligned with how you want to address things for your kid. And I say this because people who spend a lot of time trying to figure out what's happening for their kid don't spend the time they need to be spending just observing what's happening to their kid, because the lens that you come at when you are just watching from a place of handing it to somebody else to figure out versus trying to figure it out is just very, very different. And then what you share with your provider ends up being very different, because you're sharing from the point of, I think I have this figured out, now I need you to confirm what I have figured out, versus here's what I'm seeing, what's going on and what do we need to do? And there are things that come up when you can just say, here's what it is, I'm just going to vomit it all out to you, do something with this. There are things that are useful to a trained, skilled homeopath that are not necessarily going to be something that are useful to you that can really change the direction of how we navigate things. So understanding with some of these mindset shifts and expectations, understanding that your role and the way that you can give your child the best results and have the best outcomes is to do your part very well. And you are not the homeopath. You're the parent. So even the best homeopaths cannot effectively treat their kids in most cases, because you can't do both. You can't be the parent engaging in the way you want to and need to as a parent and somebody who is a compassionate, detached observer, right? Like I have to have a certain amount of detachment from what is happening in your home to be able to really observe and understand objectively what is happening, right?
Yeah.
And I can't be detached from my kid.
Yeah. It's a hard shift. I feel like a whole bunch of people are listening right now going, oh gosh, she's talking to me, but also she's talking to me too. Like, I feel
talking
like
talking to me too.
your eyes are burning holes in the side of my face right now. Cause I feel like I'm the world's worst at this. And it's just such a, like, again, cause we talk about this in other episodes, how it's like it's our last little bit of control that we hang on to, and letting go is so hard, but then truly letting go was like the moment I started to get my life back, like literally, like so much change when I finally was like, Dr. Barr's got this.
I think you don't realize how much time and energy goes in to the panda's rabbit hole. I called it the rabbit hole at the beginning. You know what I mean? I was up all night. The minute the kids were in bed, I was researching. And then even Dr. Barr, like you said, you start homeopathy and then you have to make that switch. And I was still really trying to figure it all out, because not concrete in your brain, you know what I mean? Not like it's very unnerving to not know. The unknown is scary, just period. Okay. And so it's kind of a weird thing, but that objective observer was really hard. And I can't tell you how many times my provider talked me off a ledge because I came into my follow-up guns a-blazing. This is what's going on, you know, and I was a hot mess when really, like you said, you need to be detached. I don't need to give the subjective my analysis of it. It's pretty
well. Yeah. We need to be detached. You can be firmly attached to your kids, and if anything, I would say that there is some healing for you and for your child when you can just get back to being the observer. And yes, there is a little bit of like your kid's still under a microscope and you're taking notes about things and everything, but then you are able to take the note of what happened. Or, you know, and that's my second tip, is to figure out a system that works for you. There is no perfect system for how to take notes. If you know, maybe you do a quick voice note, maybe you have a spreadsheet, maybe you do the notes app, maybe you have a notebook because you're a writer, maybe you do it at the end of the day, maybe you do it as you go, whatever it happens to be for you, for how you observe. Find what works for your family. It could be a combination of things too. And then review those notes before the visit, not every single day. Every single day is not going to give you information. We have to look at trends over time. Homeopathy does not work like a light switch, right? It's not an on and off. It's changes in frequency, intensity, and duration. And so being able to observe and take a look from like a step back to be able to see what are we seeing over time compared to how things were 4 weeks ago, right? So taking those notes and being able to be in that observing space. But then also like leaning into your kid, like the type of like energy and just where you're coming from as a human when you are in a dealing with someone who is something that is a problem to be fixed versus a person who is looking at their child struggling. It's just a different energy. And there's a certain amount of healing for parents that I've seen when they are able to make that shift and they can just see their child and come from a place of compassion and connectedness to their child instead of what is happening. I have to figure this out. It's just a very different mental space, energetic space, and it can make a difference for the kids too in and of itself. So having somebody that allows you to do that can be really vital.
So, all right, Lori, what about mid healing?
Let's see. What did I put for mid? So a tangible one is have a game plan for those doubtful moments. And I think we can go into detail, but I am a big believer of, mantras and notes and whatever, and silly stuff that always gets thought of as just silly little whatever's thing. There's things like that that saved me along the way when I was in doubt, because I felt like before I had really built my circle of people that understood and I could trust, you kind of feel like you're on an island. So I needed my own method that I could go to, tried and true, when I was having my own doubtful moments, whether it was participating in the group or rereading my hallelujahs that I had shared in the group. Or like I said, I was a big person on mantras or whatever, whether it's take a breath outside. I mean, lots of things, but that was a huge one during the middle. The other thing I wrote that I think is important about the middle specifically is I feel like that phase of healing is really more about the caretaker and less about the kid. We've kind of already gone into this a little bit, but I feel like your job kind of changes. You should kind of be in some sort of groove, but at that point where you settle in even a little bit more with the flow of things, and you really need to just work on manifesting a healing environment and let it go. So that might mean changing your schedule around, you know, making accommodations for your kid. I don't know. It was less about what they're doing. Homeopathy and remedies were doing their own thing over here. And now I needed to create this life that was going to work with our healing. I couldn't do that in the first one because I was still wrapping my brain around everything. But it was that middle section of this process is going to be as easy or hard as I make it. And that's where my healing came into play so that I could respond appropriately instead of always knee-jerk reacting to everything. It makes the process a lot smoother when I'm more working on my adjustments than trying to adjust this kid. Because the kid, we got the plan. The remedies are going to do their thing. It's happening on its own schedule. And so now I needed to change me That was my big takeaway for the meal.
Yeah, I feel like your takeaway is like, what is going to help facilitate my thoughts on the middle? Because really my thoughts are about like where we are as parents as we're moving through the middle. And what I had put was stay comfortable in the shifting. Because for me, I think that the further we got into healing, like in that middle space, when things were starting to get better, the steps back to me felt worse. And I don't know if my brain was expecting that that was going to slow down. And there was still shifting. There were still times where we would go back into figuring it out. And me, I was still trying to figure things out in the middle of Avery's healing journey because I had not been able to like step back. Even though I trusted you, I still was like trying to figure things out too much. And there was just things still shifted. There was still back and forth. Things were better. They like the further we got in, the better they got, but there was just still shifting. So just understand and know that that shifting is still going to happen. And you've got your provider to completely lean on to help you through that. And then I put to continue to celebrate. And I think what I mean when I say that is, you know, it's as some of those bigger things get better. Like for us, as rage got better, as separation anxiety got better, as OCD started to get better, it was a little bit harder for me to see the shifting that was going on as we were kind of moving through the middle of healing. And I think that I just didn't recognize, like I wasn't celebrating like everyone does now. That's why I love Homeopathy Hallelujah, Small Victory Saturday. Those are great things. I didn't have those things back then. And so I was still like, I just wasn't recognizing the little wins and the great things. And also too, the really big things that weren't coming back. I wasn't like, I wish I would have had a little more attention to that in the middle of Avery's healing journey. What about you, Dr. Barr?
So I've noticed that you guys have both mentioned a couple things that are in our group that are maybe not familiar for people who aren't a member of our Facebook group, which is this Homeopathy Hallelujah and Small Victory Saturday. So they are posts that we do every week to make sure that people have a place where they can go and celebrate their wins. They can lift each other up if people need to see a win, and they can also go and reflect and find their old wins too when they need to. So that's what you guys were talking about for anybody who's not familiar with those. I love that all of our stuff seems to sort of flow together, but is a slightly different flavor for things. And then this is true for the middle part too. So for the middle part, I actually have 3 to 4 tips that are hard to break down into like just a top one. The first one I wrote was take care of yourself. And my thought here was along the lines of what you guys were saying, but more specifically, I'm going to say it outright. PAN's PTSD is real. And in the middle is when it's going to really start to flare up for you. And you are going to start to feel worse. Not everybody does, but many people do. Many people start to feel worse as their kid is getting better because there's the ups and downs. And you find yourself bracing for everything and feeling like the worst case scenario is happening or preparing just in case it can happen and never able to actually settle into the better spaces that your kids are, or focusing on the 2 symptoms that are really, really stubborn and not the 5 symptoms that have substantially improved or resolved, right? And so this is a point where you deserve some care yourself, because whether that's homeopathy, whether it's therapy, whether it's medication, whether it's meditation, whatever works for you to help you make sure that you get to the place that you're able to acknowledge the trauma and grief that come with being a PAN's parent, and that you get support for it so that you don't stay stuck in a place feeling like things are actively happening that probably aren't actively happening anymore, that you're not in as much of a state of threat, not in as much of a dangerous place as you once were once you reach the middle. I also wrote remain flexible because things will shift in how people respond. In many cases, not necessarily every single case, but you could see that the responses just aren't quite as big. They start to lessen because you don't have as much improvement that needs to happen. So a 10% change is smaller when you don't have as much change that needs to happen. You can also see that you might not have aggravated before and start aggravating because you have the capacity to have a stronger response. So you might need to shift how you're dosing. All of these things can change, especially once you get to the middle. And the last one I'm going to put together is to keep at it and fight the urge to add more. The middle is the part where it gets kind of tedious, to be honest, because you're not recovered. You're not living life with like almost no thoughts about pans or pandas anymore. You're not, you know, two steps away. You're not at like 90%. And you've got little things that you would never notice if you didn't have a history of pans. You're still worried when you get a note that there's strep in the school, or, you know, when you hear drop your kid off and there's sneezing and coughing going on everywhere. You still have flares. You might be in the space where you're having flares and sick all the time in that pendulum swing. And this is the space where people start to get antsy and say, should I be doing more? Can I make this go faster? What if I added this? What if I added this? The reason I say fight the urge is if you're seeing improvements, you are going to still see improvements, and it's going to continue to happen until you get to the finish line. And adding more things creates more complexity, and it can inadvertently slow things down for you in your effort to speed things up. So this is really where you need to lean into your provider, and where having a medically trained provider like we have at Resilience Naturopathic is super important, because it's not always true that you should never avoid or you should never add anything. Sometimes there are things that should be added and are appropriate and beneficial for the long-term healing process. And sometimes it can actually cause a setback for you inadvertently. So this is where leaning into your provider, who ideally is medically trained, so that you have somebody who knows how homeopathy works, how the medications and supplements and diets and whatever it is that you're attempting to use or considering use, how they work and how they would work together. All right, last thing.
What you got for the late stages?
Okay, so sticking with the theme of mindset and expectation. So Jody, you and I have talked about this on our own, and whether you are a short healer or a long healer, I think for us, our oldest kid, you're on with their journey, and I've never had a non-pandas first kid. So I wasn't sure what normal life would look like at this stage. My kid is 13, and so 13 in general for any family is just a little like this. So there was a point in the end stages where I had to, again, kind of another paradigm shift, adjust what my thought of healing was going to look like. I think it's very easy when you've gone through this long stuck in the suck middle to actually crest over to like the end phase and not even know that you're kind of there, because you've been scrutinizing every little thing for so long that you're looking for perfection, not remembering that life continues to throw curveballs while you're healing. We're not in this bubble. I mean, we had mold not once, but twice. And then we had a whole construction debacle. And then we had some deaths in the family. And then, so we had all this stuff still coming at us. So, I don't know. I think that I needed to change my perception, which leads me into my next thing, which is start living. Don't wait. Figure out at this point, like, we're fully living and thriving and doing all the things. And then, yeah, we get sick in the winter. Everybody gets sick in the winter. It's not just a pandas thing, or it's not a whatever. But yeah, start filling the calendar back up. Start being intentional. And as a parent, start doing things for myself again. Start filling up my personal calendar, not just my kids' calendar. So it's kind of recrafting intentionally the way you want your life to look. Something different that had we not gone through pandas, I don't know that I would have done, because you just go through life and you don't think about it. But because you are emerging from this middle stage of being focused on this disorder, you have to take your foot off the gas and not focus on the disorder and learn how to just, well, rejoin the living. Mm-hmm. So that's that.
It's interesting, because what you're talking about is like, but I have the parental healing in the late stages, because that, for me, that's when it showed up the worst, exactly at the time that you're talking about, whenever Avery was starting to go about life as normal. I was just stuck. And that's, yes, you should start healing as early as you possibly can, but that's the place where I should have been like, I'm not okay, but I didn't recognize it, even though Dr. Barr, you were telling me that I wasn't okay. I was like, no, I'm fine. But that's the later stages is when I have the parental healing, because it is really, really a hard thing to do. And it is really, really hard to move out of the mindset of thinking that homeopathy is going to fix everything, even like just life, like the basics. Like, why isn't homeopathy completely fixing my child that is moody and grumpy the week before her period? Well, I mean, it kind of did eventually help a lot, but also nobody feels good during that time. But my brain was like set on the fact that like homeopathy is not working. I mean, it just was a hard shift for me. And I did not. And I love that we're going to talk about all of this next season, because Lori, you and I are like yin and yang on all of this. I did it very differently than you did. And so I think that, you know, moms hearing themselves in both of us will be a really cool thing. So I'm looking forward to really digging into all of that. Late stages, I think, you know, whenever we're in those late stages working through healing, it really honestly feels like certain things are going to last forever. Avery's tics, I thought they were going to last forever. I was like convinced. I'm like, this is just hanging on. It's just never going to go away. Like, this is it. This is where we're at. It went away. It finally went away. I think we really have to hold on to what we've seen homeopathy do and believe in that. And again, mindset, keep believing that your child's body isn't back to 100% and they've just got a little bit more healing to do, and really like leaning into all of the amazing, crazy, wonderful things that we've seen homeopathy do, and know that it'll just keep doing that until it is better.
Yeah.
So what about you?
My perfect ending to yours is see it through to the end.
Yes.
So there are people also at this stage. So the middle stage is where you're more likely to say, what can I add? What else should I be doing to make this go faster? The late stage is where you're likely to say, you know, I can live with this. Maybe I don't need to be doing anything else. If this is the worst it gets, this is where, okay, I'm fine. The challenge here is that if you don't see it through to recovery with PANS, it doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, if you don't want to stay forever, if PANS resolves and you realize, oh, there is always ADHD underneath. And so now we have ADHD as the thing that we need to address. And it's clearly not associated with immune triggers, that it's just persistent. Or we've got some chronic constipation or whatever. Homeopathy can help with those things. So you can continue. The most important thing is to see it through until you reach the point of recovery from PANS, which is where you can have a normal immune response to an infection and fight it off without a neuropsychiatric flare. If you're still seeing any of that and you're like, oh, but it's minor, it's mild, I'm not worried about it, you are at far greater risk of seeing it recur and get bad again than if you see it through to the end and you see repeated infections and typical immune response without a flare. So see it through to the end and consider continuing with helping your child recover as a whole from anything else that is a deeper, less threatening condition than PANS that homeopathy can still help with. But this is where you talk to your provider. At the very least, though, see the PANS through to the end. And then my other thing was really, I think, valid for everything. I put it in, it's the late stage, but I think really at every stage, share your story. That's one of my top tips. And we talked about this earlier, to just come full circle to the things that we loved best and that we get the most feedback and that we've shared or we've heard from our listeners and our community that make the biggest impact is hearing from others. So share your story. You don't have to have perfect resolution to share it. People find value and they find benefit all along the way. They find benefit from seeing themselves in you. They find benefit from finding hope when you are doing well and they're not. So don't hold back. There are some people who hold back sharing. There's a lot of people actually who hold back sharing when things are going well because they don't want to make other people feel bad, not recognizing that there are people who are clinging to the hope that this can actually get better. And there's also people who do appreciate hearing from you when things are not going so great because it helps them see this is normal. This isn't my kid or my family not having a good response to it. It's normal to have the ups and downs and for things to get messy. So all along the healing journey. Share your story because your story matters to people more than you know.
Can I add to that too? I want to tattoo this on my forehead, but it would have to be backwards so it could be legible on video. The jinx is not real. The jinx is what healing looks like. It's not like you're not going to, I know it feels like it because it sometimes still feels like that too with my younger daughter, but sharing your story is not going to impact the healing trajectory. Things are going to go off track, whether you say it out loud or not. And that's where you lean into your provider and you get things back on track. Giving other families the idea of what this journey is like, good and bad, is how other children are going to find healing. And so don't not share because you think it's going to turn around 2 days later, because it might turn around 2 days later and it might not. And that's why we have our providers.
All right. Any other final thoughts from either of you or big picture healing top tips?
I don't think I have any big picture. I'm just really excited about next season. I always feel like a little weird about going really deep into homeopathy specific stuff outside of the Facebook group. But I feel like this is, it's like we're going in a cool direction. It's almost like we're going to the next level. And one thing I really love is we get requests sometimes from like extended family members. Like, how do I understand this better? How do I know what my family's going through? This is going to be that resource. This is going to help your, I think these conversations will help your family or your extended family members understand exactly what you're going through. And it is also going to give anybody that's considering homeopathy a little bit deeper look into the reality of what healing is like. And even those naysayers who, you know, think that whatever it is that they think, I love that there's, you know, opportunity to see a little bit deeper view into what it is that we're doing and how it moves and flows. What about you,
Lori? I
love
that we're going to do a deeper dive because my brain is just like, oh my gosh, and I remember that and I remember that. It's funny to go back in time and try to put myself in that beginning stage or in that middle stage and think of real tangible examples to share. So I'm glad that we're going to break this down separately because it's just a lot. It's a lot of goodness. I also think that just my takeaway from our entire journey was that it made me slow down and heal myself. And so as much as I remember at the beginning hating this disorder, I'll continue to shout this from the rooftops that I wouldn't have healed without PANDAS happening to my child. And then everything has come full circle for us. So it's healing with homeopathy is so much more than just getting rid of the PANDAS. It has really changed everything at home for the better. And it's an opportunity. And so I think if you can get to that place, that's a good place to be.
And on that note, enjoy some of our most loved episodes over the summer. I hope you all have the best summer that is available to you. I hope some of these tips will help get you through until we rejoin you in September with Lori, who will be with us for almost all, if not all, of these episodes, because we need both sides. We need the both experiences from the moms that just provide a richness to how we think, how we see things, and how we get through all of this together. So I hope you guys will join us. I'll look for us in early September with our Navigating Recovery season 4. Until then, take care, everybody.
Bye, guys. Bye. We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for Pans and PANDAS.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.